It's a Panthers post-game slash pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio. We're looking back at that fabulous and gritty and so vital 1-0 win over Five Flies on Thursday night and ahead to Saturday's home game with Coventry and then, of course, Bank Holiday Monday's game with Glasgow Clan. It really is going down to the wire. Dan Green, the former Panthers netminder, joins us, as does Jono Bullard. Jono, wow, that game on Thursday against the Flyers, that's a performance, isn't it? Rock was superb, 29 shots shut out. Defensively, Panthers were great. Otto Niemimen scored a great goal. When the odds are against you, that's the type of performance you want to see.
It certainly is. And I was looking at social media earlier today, and you know, Panthers banter, who we all know, he put out that in our last four visits to Scotland, there'd been 50 goals in those four games. And then it's a 1-0 win. You couldn't write it. But what a performance. Six defensemen with Jordan Kelsall in there, which I think made a massive difference as well. Rock had a great game, second shutout of the season. And we just kept battling and battling. The forwards came back and helped out on defence. It was just a great, gritty, hard-working performance, and we got exactly what we deserve from the game. A great, great victory, and it still keeps us in that playoff race.
Yeah, Greener, Jonathan and Kevin and Rick, they learn a lot about their team on a night like the one in Fife, yeah?
Yeah, it just seems that like every time you think we're kind of down and out, it's the opposite. I don't know if it was you I was saying to yesterday that, you know, when we go to places in the last few road games, like we've gone to Sheffield, we've gone to Cardiff, like I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't really fancy our chances in those games, and we get a point out of it. And then tonight on a Thursday, Fife have been great lately. Again, you think it's going to be like a really tough game, and we just seem to find a way in those games to, you know, get it done. So yeah, it was kind of looking maybe a little bit bleak before that game, but I honestly fancy us now, like especially the fact that we're playing all those teams around us. You know, there's no way that, you know, it sounds obvious, but if we beat them, they can't beat anybody else because they're only playing us. So, you know, Coventry, then Glasgow, you know, if we go through them, we're kind of got one foot in it. So yeah, I think that completely kind of flips the script, that win.
John, I'd be kind of wrong to single any one player out for the win in Fife, but I'm going to pick someone out, but more in general. Otto Niemimen, two hat-tricks in four games, obviously with the goals he got against Dundee, wasn't it, and then against Cardiff. And then, of course, another one tonight. He's regularly on the score sheet. Otto, at the start of the season, fabulous. And now in this crunch time, in the stretch, he's just lights out.
10-game point streak after tonight, which includes 12 goals. So he is absolutely on fire at the minute. It's 12 goals and 5 assists. So 17 points in 10 games. That's incredible at this part of the season. Two hat-tricks in there as well. And yeah, he's just the main man at the minute, and 27 goals now for the season, 28 points a game. You can't ask for any more than that.
Greener, with the stretch coming down, and obviously Rok Stojanovic is going to be the starting goalie for the rest of the season, how important was it, do you think, for Rok to get that shutout?
Yeah, I think it was massive. I mean, he's obviously had some really good games, but, you know, even in the game, like, you know, in Cardiff, you know, we still let in a fair amount of goals as a team. So I think, you know, even when we've won and he's played well, you know, as a team defensively, we've still been letting goals. And so I think for everybody, just, you know, going up there, shutting the door, it will give a massive confidence, just knowing that they can, you know, fight for a really high scoring team, especially at home. So to go into a barn like that, and it's not like it's a nothing game for them either. Yeah, I think it will do wonders for his confidence and just the whole team as a defensive unit.
So the playoff run continues. We'll touch about that in a minute on Saturday and Monday. But Jono, I'm just looking at these fixtures now, and it's so hard to call, isn't it? Because Panthers, well, the other teams, well, everybody is playing each other. You know, teams at the bottom of the table, I mean, are playing each other. Panthers are playing Coventry and Glasgow over this coming weekend. You know, their two teams are yet, you know, their teams that Panthers are chasing. You know, if you look at Dundee, I'm going to go quickly through them now. Dundee's running. They've got Glasgow and Fife twice. Fife, of course, they've got Dundee twice. You know, Glasgow, Dundee, Panthers is there running. I mean, other games as well, when I'm talking about teams in and around. I mean, you just, even if you're a neutral, you can't call this, can you?
Not in the slightest. And it's so close as well. Like you said, I think there's, if I just bring the table up, you've got three teams on 47 points, Glasgow, Coventry and Fife. Then Dundee on 45 and now ourselves on 43. You can't call it. All Panthers have got to do is now keep winning.
Win out.
All we can do. If we can win out, we'll probably make it. Now, obviously, there's no guarantees of that. But I think if we win every game, we will probably get there. Win these two games coming up at home, and that's going to put us in a very, very good position going into those final two games against Manchester. And yeah, it you can't really call it, because like you say, Dundee playing Glasgow, playing Fife, your Coventry have got games against those lower down as well. It's so difficult to call, as you've already said. You can't predict it. All we can do, we are masters of our own destiny. We've just got to keep winning.
The thing is, Greeno, that the regulation time wins is strongly in Panthers' favour. If you look at the table as it stands now, Panthers and Dundee have 13 regulation time wins. And then the teams just outside that, you know, in those playoff places, Fife at the moment have 12, Glasgow have 10, Coventry have 9. So effectively, the way things are shaping, you know, if Panthers keep winning in regulation time, all they need to do is match the points tallies of those teams around them rather than get one more point. And that's another massive bonus at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, that's huge, because exactly like you said, if, you know, if we do, you know, maybe end up dropping a game, but, you know, other teams will probably drop games. Yeah, I mean, if we can just get up, like Jono said, get up into the same points category as them, we have the first tiebreaker. So exactly that, you know, we don't actually have to finish above them on points. All we have to do is match them. So also, I mean, I didn't realise that, but isn't that crazy that Coventry have 9 regulation wins out of 50 games? Like, that seems insane. That's not very many.
12 overtime shootout wins, though, to go with that. Which is by far the most in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, you do a 3-2-1 points table, the table would look very different, wouldn't it? You know, that's, people cry out for 3-2-1. I'm not sure I'm... You know, there's a question. 3-2-1. Would you go 3? I think I wouldn't. What about Greener? You first of all.
I think I like it. Yeah, I think like that. They're saying in the NHL they kind of don't want to do it because they like these really tight races. Like if you do that, it means there'll be a big, teams will probably be a bit further away from each other, if that makes sense. So you don't get those really tight, you know, gaps at the end of the year. But I like it because I think if you beat a team in regulation, you should be rewarded more than if you beat them in overtime. Yeah. Because you've beaten them more convincingly, if that makes sense. Like, I think you should be rewarded for that. But if you did it that way, you wouldn't have this tight race like this. You know, it wouldn't be, you know, I personally don't think it would be as exciting, but I do think you should encourage teams to try and win it in the 60 minutes, if that makes sense.
I mean, my maths is average. I think I got B at GCSE, but I would suspect, Jono, that if it was 3-2-1, Glasgow and Coventry would probably be out of the playoff race right now, and Nottingham would be in it. But are you 4-3-2-1, Jono?
Yeah, let's go with the Ted Rogers scoring system. there's one for the old yo. I bet there's a few blank young faces at that comment. They're listening to this. No, I fully agree with what Dan said. I think you should get the extra reward for winning in regulation. It's how they play it at international level, and IIHF is 3-2-1. We did have it in Super League, I think, didn't we, for a couple of seasons?
I seem to Grand Slam year, that was 3-2-1 because they won it by a million miles, didn't they?
And if it was, they would have won it by a million miles this year as well. I think quickly working it out, I think that would put them on 120 points if it was that system. But very quickly working it out, Panthers 39,
Panthers have 49, 49
56 points with the overtime losses.
Okay, so
56 points. Coventry would be 27, 24, 51. Coventry would be 56.
Wow.
And Glasgow would be 30, 46, 57.
Oh, so
there'd be a point between Glasgow, Coventry and Panthers.
Yeah, so Panthers probably wouldn't be in it, but it would be very close indeed.
It'd be ridiculously close, yeah.
It would be ridiculously close. And as it is, it's great. I mean, Panthers have the chance to close the gap on Coventry to...
2 points.
Just 2 points. Yeah, to 2 points on Saturday. So it's really interesting, and it's going to, whatever happens, I think it's going to go. I don't really see a sequence of results probably that puts Panthers fully out of it at the weekend. You never know, you know, but I fully expect Panthers to compete this weekend. The confidence they've had in recent weeks and some of the performances they've been putting in, that they, you know, they've been there and thereabouts. And this one, and with bodies coming back, you know, that's another crucial thing. Greener, what challenges in it? Blaze started really well, and at one stage, I think, you know, you were looking at them, could they be one of the teams that pushes into the top four? They've fallen away, you know, just recently, but what challenges will they pose on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, they're a dangerous team. I think they're one of those teams, I've said it about a couple of the other teams, probably Jono will know, like on the commentary, I think you kind of never really know what you're going to get with Coventry. They're kind of one of those where, you know, on their day, they have some absolute superstar players. I think the big thing is their goalie. If, you know, Cozen, if he has a good game and he's solid, if it is Cozen, then they'll have a chance. Like, you know, they're good on the power play. They're kind of one of those teams with like three sort of solid lines that can kind of all score. And they're dangerous, but I don't think they have the depth we have, even with the injuries. You know, with us being at home, like you said, some bodies back on a good little run, I fancy us massively, but they are a dangerous team. And if we do give them chances and stuff, they've got people that can take them. But I certainly see us as favourites for that game, definitely.
But they'll come, Jono. You know, they've I think two previous games in the league this season, they've won both of them, haven't they, in Nottingham? So they've done well in this rink so far.
Yeah, I think we've got one victory against them, which was the 6-2 victory in Coventry the last time we played them. And they've got dangerous players like Dan says, yeah, McNulty, Roth, Christo, Talberg, four that immediately leap out. Alessio Luciani has come in. He was in NCAA 3 last season. He's come in and he's got 32 points, 18 goals and 14 assists. He's been their real surprise signing, and he's done very, very well. And I think he scored a couple of goals against us previously this season. So, you know, they've got firepower. They've got players who can hurt us, but they are on a bit of a downward spiral. I think they've lost their last four straight. We're obviously going to come in with a lot of confidence coming from Thursday's victory against Fife. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting matchup, I think. And it depends, you know, I think the first 5-10 minutes will probably tell us a lot. I think whichever team comes out or starts the stronger will probably go on to win it.
So it's a massive weekend, and tickets are selling really well. already as we speak on Thursday evening here, there's probably a little over 1,000 tickets remaining for the game with Coventry. We'll talk about Glasgow in a minute, but Greener, the big crowds, there's been a lot of big crowds recently at the Motorpoint Arena since the turn of the year. The fan support has been unbelievable. How much of a sort of, not a goal start, but how much of a head start does it give the boys? You've played in that rink many times. Does it give the boys, you know, when the noise is loud and the fans are right behind?
Yeah, I think it's massive. And I think, you know, we've seen it so many times this year when we've come out and had a good start, you know, you'll kind of get a goal and the crowd will be going crazy and then we'll get another goal. And, you know, I think if we start fast and physical, like Jonas said, if we can get a goal early, whichever team comes out, if we can kind of take the lead and whatever, I think that's massive for us at home. I think, you know, teams know that, I guess it's a bit like going into Sheffield. You know, if you go there and you let in a couple of goals early, you're in for a long night. You know, the confidence is up, the crowd is loud and kind of against you. And yeah, you know, you can see teams getting blown away inside the first sort of 10 minutes. So exactly like Jonas said, I think the first 10 minutes is huge. But yeah, the crowd will obviously, as they have done all year, probably play a massive part.
It's Glasgow on Monday. Individual tickets for both games, normal prices, but it's an Easter special, Easter weekend, Easter bundle. Call it what you want. Reduced prices if you buy the bundle. They're available at panthers.co.uk. If you want to come to both games, they're both massive games. So come down and watch those games and you'll get a discounted price if you combine the two. Also on Monday, the family ticket offer is back again. You know, a family of one adult and two children or three children or a couple of adults or whatever. There's plenty of combinations there. They offer discounted prices. And yeah, get yourself down to either of those games. Guys, before we finish, let's just start, or let's just, well, let's just give a bit of praise for the league champions. Greener, we talked about Sheffield a lot on Saturday. And in fact, it prompted one Elite League coach to text me and ask me whether I was a Steelers fan. But, you know, you can't take away from it. I mean, we've touched on it, Greener, and then we'll come to Jonah, who might find it harder to say the words, giving his situation at home. But Greener, first of all, when we spoke on Saturday, I think we both knew at the end of the game that Steelers were probably 24 hours away from being champions. They effectively waltzed to the title. They had a bit of a hiccup, didn't they, in the second period. But their record speaks for itself, and they're worthy winners, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're the Belfast of, you know, from last year of this year. They've been top of the pack since day one. They've had no blips. You know, they've just gone about their business, kind of steamrolling everyone. I think, you know, me and John have always said they have no weaknesses. You know, it's, yeah, they score in bundles, but they've got a great goalie. They've got great defensemen, a great British core. They sell out that rink almost every week, you know, like we do at home. They've really, you can't fault them in any department. You know, Robert Dowd, he's been there a long time, but, you know, losing Jonathan Phillips and him taking over the sea is a big responsibility. He's been great. Yeah, I just think, you know, obviously great recruitment, great coaching. Yeah, and, you know, they'll think they're sort of, you know, two down, one to go, and, you know, they'll just be now getting ready for that you know, playoff quarterfinal.
Jono, you better shut the kitchen door and ban anyone who likes Steelers in your family from listening for the next 30 seconds, but they're good, aren't they?
They're not bad. Not bad. They're no 2012-13 Grand Slam winning team, though, are they? Let's be honest.
Jono. Well, you know what? You've kind of segued into my final section, which I've not really given you guys a heads up on, but, you know, the following year, the other day, it was 10 years to the day from the year after the Grand Slam year. Panthers played the Belfast Giants in the second leg of the Challenge Cup final. First leg, Panthers lost 5-2. Peacock with a couple of goals to give Belfast an early lead. Panthers came back into it, Farmer making it 3-1 at one stage. Shields and Darryl Lloyd for 5-1. And then Jonathan Weaver. Wow, says here, all those goals were scored by the halfway point. So Panthers were 5-2 down going into the second leg. And then another one of those famous nights that we've had over the years in Nottingham. Panthers winning this one in a shootout. Lynn Loynes, Petr Kallas, Jeff Mason pulled it back on the night for the Belfast Giants. Eric Werner and Matt Ryan there getting the equalizing goal on the power play. Matt Ryan, 48-14, if IH update is correct. And then the penalty shootout from memory. Petr
Kalas.
Yeah, I remembered that. And Panthers went on to win the Challenge Cup. Greener, how special a night was that?
Yeah, it was a big one because obviously, you know, well, two reasons. One, we're playing Belfast, who had already won the league. So, you know, they're obviously the best team that year. And then obviously going there and losing by three, I think most people thought it was pretty much over. You know, the league champions with a three-goal lead. Even though it was coming home, it still felt like it would be a big ask. But I think, you know, Corey has to take massive credit for that because he kind of completely changed the tactics, and we just tried something completely left field for that game, like out of nowhere, and it just worked to a T, and we just frustrated them. And I remember their players just being like, what the hell are they doing? Like, what's going on? And, you know, eventually we wore them down. I remember Matty Ryan scoring that goal and then, you know, taking it to a shootout. But no, it was, yeah, it was, I think, just a comeback against, you know, the team like that. And that was obviously, well, for me, it was four in a row. I think it was five in a row. I think they won it the year before as well. But
yeah, it was fifth.
Yeah, so for some of the guys like Lacko and that, it was like Clarkey, it was five in a row. So, yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, no, another massive night at home.
Jono, there's been some magic moments in that rink, like one-off moments to you know, like in playoffs, Rastislav Rovnianek, you know, winning, you know, making three saves. But, it, you know, I mean, European days, Champions League victories over European opposition, all those Challenge Cup wins as well. But this one is special in the sense that the manner it was done, three goals down is a big turnaround, isn't it? You know, a lot of people outside the Panthers wouldn't have given Panthers a hope, but Panthers believe. But, you know, it there's so many special nights in that ring. But this one, in terms of the comeback, is probably one of the more remarkable ones.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I don't think I gave Panthers a hope on the day. And we went and I think we got them two quick goals, didn't we? The first two goals were pretty early in the first period, I seem to remember. Or certainly in the first period, anyway.
Yeah,
and I think that gave the team a big lift. Then when Jeff Mason scored, I remember thinking, "Well, yeah, it's been a brave effort, but that's probably going to do it because I think we were tiring." And then we pulled some reserves out of somewhere and got another two goals to take it into overtime and then the shootout. And I just remember when Craig Kowalski made the save to win it, it was just limbs. Yeah. I was in block 13. It was just everybody just piled on top of each other. It was a great scene. So we were just overjoyed to win it. Fifth Challenge Cup in a row. I mean, that's going to take some beating, that record. I mean, eight Challenge Cups we've had in the Elite League
era? Five in a row again, will they? You know,
no. I mean, and if they do, you know, they'll deserve it because it will be an incredible feat if anybody manages that again. But yeah, what a comeback! Like you say, Chris, one of the great nights at the arena.
You were right about the early goals. The power play goal from Lynn Lyons at 4:07. That was because of a bench minor, too many players for the Belfast Giants. And then Petr Kalas's goal came at 15:28. That was because of an interference penalty to Daryl Lloyd. I wasn't at the game. I was with GB Women in Dumfries doing the commentary on a GB Women's game in Dumfries. And getting WhatsApps. Oh, no, it probably wasn't WhatsApp then, was it? It was pigeons or... No, text messages. Yes. text messages.
We had a big long piece of string and a couple of tin cans.
You were shouting the score down to me. Yeah, text messages. And I think I'd paid very little attention to the game because I was commentating a GB women's game. So I think I was aware that it was a comeback in the offing, but I certainly wasn't following like 1-0 and 2-0. I must admit then, when it went to the penalty shootout, I was looking at my phone in every breaking play. I think I was doing the game with either Martin Grubb or Mark Beggs. in every breaking play, I was having a look down. Greeno, one thing I want to talk about is whether this filtered through to the dressing room, because Gary Moran told a great story afterwards, and he used it and he said it motivated the Panthers, but I don't blame the Belfast Giants for this. So Gary said Belfast turned up, there was every man and his dog there, loads of media, loads of sponsors, and in Gary Moran's his words, they waltzed in thinking they were going to win the cup. Now to me, of course they're going to come in. If you think you're going to win a cup, the media's going to be there. You know, if it was the other way around and we thought Panthers were going to go into win a cup, the media team would be going to hopefully celebrate that moment. So, Belfast Giants, to me, did nothing wrong. But Gary Moran often told the story how they waltzed in. There was dozens and dozens of them. And it was a motivation. And they had egg on their faces. What I wonder, Greeno, was did that ever filter through to the dressing room that Belfast had waltzed in thinking they were just going to take it?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a little bit of both. Like, I mean, like you said, you know, I'm sure when Sheffield went to Cardiff on Wednesday, everybody went. You know,
they all
not
went. Every man and his dog went. Yeah,
exactly, because they're not expecting to win, but they're going to go because there's a chance they could win. I mean, yeah, I do remember something. I remember them having loads of people there. So it probably is partly true. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Corey would have brought that up, and that does jog my memory to think that they had a particularly large amount of people there. But obviously, I think they just won the league. So obviously for them to get that, you know, that's obviously the double, that's massive. So, yeah, I mean, I can't see them being that, you know, quite like that, being that kind of arrogant with it. But yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of people there, and with a big lead that they are probably expecting to win. So, I don't particularly remember it kind of firing everybody up, but they did certainly have a lot of people there. So, yeah, potentially.
But you mentioned Sheffield as well. I mean, the Sheffield media team and they all went to the game in Cardiff last Wednesday. They had to go, all of them, you know, and obviously some of the guys that we know and work with. You have to be there to capture that moment. But I did wonder in my musings after the game whether Cardiff saw that and thought, hang on a minute, they think they're coming in to waltz to the title. And was that a motivation? It's not criticism of Belfast on that night or criticism of the Steelers. Because as I said, if we were going to win a league title, I'd expect all of us to be there and the rest of the media team, you know, on the road if that was going to happen. Jono, do you remember, just before we finish that topic, do you remember Belfast waltzing in with hundreds of people?
No. I remember a view from the bridge being there because I got interviewed by them after we won, but I don't remember loads. I think there was quite a few Belfast fans there from memory, obviously, as you know, you're going to come over and make every effort to go to the game if you think you're going to win the cup. And quite rightly too, I think if we held a 3-goal lead going to an away leg, I think you'd be pretty confident that he was going to finish the job. And we just managed to do it.
Yeah, Belfast. Yeah, I've seen a few excuses. I say excuses, tongue in cheek, that Stephen Murphy was sick. But to be fair, Paul Adey tells that story as well. And often tells that story that Stephen Murphy was sick. I'm not sure what was wrong with him, but Stephen Murphy was feeling under the weather going into that game. Ken,
I don't remember that. I mean, I don't particularly remember him. I can kind of remember some of the goals. It certainly wasn't his fault, you know. So it wasn't one of those games. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a chance that he maybe wasn't at his best, but.
Oh, you said but there. No, no extra point. He's going to end on a but.
No. That's it. I mean, yeah. I obviously we won, but it wasn't a landslide. You know, we didn't chase him out of the game or anything. I certainly don't remember him not playing well. So, yeah. I mean, potentially he could have been a bit under the weather, but I mean, I don't really remember anything kind of sticking out that would make me suggest that was the reason they lost.
And Jono, just finally, you're back in the commentary booth on Saturday. The line dancing go well at the weekend?
it was old people darts, Chris.
Oh, was it?
it was seniors darts I was doing last weekend.
I didn't know you played, mate.
Yeah, well, I am actually the right age now to actually enter. If only I was any good at darts. But no, in Blackpool as well, which is
not up the tower. Place. Were you at the tower?
Next to the tower, place called Viva.
Oh,
just on the corner by the tower. Yeah,
never been to Blackpool. Have you been to Blackpool, Greener?
I've not. No.
No.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
Well, whenever I drive to Dumfries for a GB tournament, I always want to stop in Blackpool, but I tend to drive up in the middle of the night, so it's like 1 a.m. in the morning. You know, it might be like I've got something on the day and that night, and then think, right, I'd rather than go in the morning, I'd rather travel through the night. But yeah, I drive and I think Blackpool at 3 a.m. there's probably not much to see.
No. Not a great deal in the daylight either.
Well, let's hope we don't have any loyal listeners from Blackpool that you've just offended, Jono. Offended the whole population of a fine seaside town.
I used to love going when I was a kid.
What, to Blackpool?
Used to go every year. Yeah, I used to go every year for a holiday in Blackpool. I used to love it. But, yeah. Not so much now.
No, never been. Maybe we'll have a media team day out to Blackpool.
Yeah. Top of the tower.
Yeah, top of the tower. Anyway, guys.
I'm scared of heights.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't look down. It's a good point. You wouldn't get me up there. The fourth floor at the arena. You see, like Sophie and Carl and Adam sometimes going, don't they?
Just, yeah, I hate
what
it.
Are you doing? Not a chance you would get me up there.
No way.
Just thinking about it.
Wimps.
Oh, no.
I've not been up the one. I have been up in the racking above Belfast Arena. When I was at the Friendship Forum, putting cameras in, those above goal cameras, like putting them in and everything. Yeah. Perfectly safe. You know, it's all covered walkway, so you're absolutely fine.
Not a chance. Anyway, guys, great chatting with you. And I'm sure there'll be a post-game podcast on Saturday and Monday. And as I said earlier, single game tickets for both games. Coventry on Saturday at 7. Literally only just over 1,000 tickets, I think, left as we speak. And then Glasgow at 4 on Bank Holiday Monday. Well over half full for that one. And please do come to both matches if you can. And if you click on panthers.co.uk and follow the links, there's also a link to a two-game bundle, which will give you reduced prices if you buy them together. So thanks for joining us on the Panthers podcast. And we'll speak to you real soon.